season. Now perhaps the sweetest premiership of all. And strike around the body. Piers, he loves it.
They've got the chocolates.
And he might have the chicken.
All right, gather round. Look each other in the eyes. Put your game faces on and strap yourself in because it's time for the Monday Waffle Podcast.
It is the Monday Waffle Podcast brought to you by Andrew and Matt. And guess what? I can't wait to talk about the wrap-up just before finals.
I don't want to talk about it, Matt. I'm not happy.
You're not happy?
Our beloved boys.
Oh, Perth. Another year of missed finals.
Yes.
You let us down again.
We're going to dissect the game a little bit more. But what I just read from Chris Pike, who does a beautiful job wrapping up the waffle each week, and we use that a fair bit in our analysis, I do at least. But Perth, ever since the first game until Sunday night, they've been in the top five. From round one to round 20, Sunday, they were in the top five. Every week of this entire year, Matt, they've been in the top five.
That's heartbreaking.
And after, since 1997 is the last time they've played finals, every round of the season, they were in the top five. And we were riding them every round of the year after we stumbled upon their fairy tale story this year. First episode was Earl Sporting.
Not just us. Yoey said finals. He mentioned
it. He said
the
F word.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, dear.
It's a darn shame. But you know what? There is a number of other teams in this competition.
Clubs involved, and
so we should probably address those.
Let's not talk about Perth for the rest. We've got Gerald Ugay coming up on the show. We'll have a chat to him about the Perth game and about what he did to that poor club.
Yes. Drove the dagger
aside
in.
Aside from that, we'll try and veer off Perth as best as we can.
Yes. We'll start things off with West Perth.
Yes.
Playing the South Fremantle Bulldogs. An absolute cracker of a match.
Mason Shaw kicked 6 goals. Absolutely dominant display.
And it's not the first time he's kicked a bag, old Mason Shaw. He's done it a few times this season.
Yeah, a friend of the podcast, and he's having a very good year. But it was a really tight battle throughout the whole day, and it's the fourth year in a row, thanks to that win, that South Fremantle finish second on the ladder. So they're like perennial contenders. And it was even at halftime, just 2 points in it. Then South Fremantle just broke away, had more scoring shots, were getting more scoreboard pressure, and ended up winning only by 4 points, 12-8 to 12-12. But the extra scoring power and ability was what sort of got them over the line. But West Perth really coming into form as well.
Yeah, exactly. And they gave it a red-hot crack. I mean, Strike 4 goals, Chalmers with 3. You know, it's not to say that they weren't getting on the board. They just not in the same sort of capacity as South Fremantle. It was really unlucky, to be honest. I mean, it was hard fought by both teams, and I guess it doesn't matter because both of them are playing finals either way.
That's right. And Aaron Black continued his stellar season with 27 disposals and, you know, could be in contention for perhaps a second Sandover medal when that comes around in a couple of weeks' time as well.
Precisely. Moving on to Revo Fitness Stadium, we have Claremont versus the Swan Districts.
An absolute pummeling from Claremont. Ian Richardson, the star forward, kicked 6 for them as a start. Jai Bolton had 46 disposals, so perhaps
46.
Even a third Sandover medal could be coming his way.
Oh my goodness.
Come Sandover night. So 46 disposals. Ian Richardson could kick 6. And unfortunately for the Swan Districts, they secured the wooden spoon. So if they'd won that week, it would have been really close between them and East Perth. But sadly for the Swan Districts, a disappointing year and finished off with a pretty disappointing over 106 point loss to Claremont. But Claremont, we know they're really powerhouse, so it's going to be a really interesting final series because lots of people are coming into form.
Exactly. Couldn't have said it better myself. Andrew, East Perth versus Subiaco. Another,
I guess
you could say, Kishlaken. Speaking of form, Subiaco as well.
It's almost like we don't talk about them because they're just, you know what you get every single week.
That's it. Sort of just like, same old, here we go. Subi, Ben Sokol, 6 goals. Yeah. Who would have thought? Ryan Borchet, 5 goals.
Ben Sokol wins the Bernie Nail Award for the most goals in the competition for the home and away season with his 6 as well, which is pretty impressive for a mid-sized forward.
Yeah, very impressive indeed. And, you know, of course, they've still got that dominant midfield, Delahunty, you know, unbelievable.
Mm. The Brody Grundy of the waffle.
Exactly right. I like that comparison. That's quite a good one, actually. Some redeeming sort of features of East Perth's performance, you know. Ajang Ajang. He seemed to score a goal. He was there. You know, it's, Ramsey got a few touches. I don't know. There's really not much to say about Ace Perth. They sort of didn't really show up at all.
Ouch. Matty Fartzalis with the bomb.
You heard it here first. Moving on, we had East Freo taking on West Coast at Mineral Resources Park. This was quite an interesting match because West Coast needed to win in order to secure their spot in the finals, and they did.
They got the job done.
They beat East Fremantle by 30-odd points. Yes, no, 23. It was 23. Well, you know,
that's
forgive
right. 30
me.
30-odd.
I said odd. I did say odd. And, of course, Archie finding a bit of form with four goals. You know, he's been
a tough one. He's struggled to break into the West Coast's top AFL side.
And you don't really blame the side for that. I mean, it's full of talent at the moment, although it was questionable their performance against the Mighty Hawks last week. But nevertheless, yeah, you're right. It's interesting. Maybe he'll get his time to shine shortly.
One thing we like to do at the top of the show that we haven't done yet is mention what the Rumble topic this week is.
And what is that?
We've mentioned the sand over a few times, and it's awarded to the fairest and best. This week we're rumbling over, so a little bit later in the show, stick around for that, we're rumbling over whether we should scrap the fairest and whether it should just be the best player in the competition. So scrap the need for there to be a fair component to the player. It just needs to be the best player in the competition. So that's if you can get suspended for a week or two or three or four, but if you still happen to get the most votes, then you can still be eligible for the medal. That's what we'll be tackling.
So stay tuned. We've got our final match of the round, Peel Thunder versus Perth. And, you know, it was a close match. Perth really needed to win. They lost by 3 points. It's a darn shame, really, because they miss out on making finals yet again.
Someone we can get more insight into this game than either of us is Gerald Uglay. And we've got him coming up next, and we can have a chat to him now.
What'd you say? Uglay.
Uglay, I said that time.
Is it Uglay or Ugle?
It's Ugle. But Ugs, who's definitely a friend of the show, he doesn't mind.
He doesn't mind?
No.
You're confident
Gerald,
on that?
Yeah, no. Uglay.
Why Ugle. Don't you greet him like that when we call him up?
Okay, I'll do it and see what he says. Ugs is a friend of the show, I'm sure. It'll be
all right. Uglay, heard it here first.
Right now. Joining us on the line now is Peel Thunder captain Gerald Uglay, is how I pronounced it as before, but it's Ugle, isn't it, Gerald? I asked you this last time we had...
Yeah, an old ex-captain.
Ex-captain, oh, sorry about that.
Yeah, Benny Howlett's captain this year.
Oh, sorry about that as well. Okay.
That's all good, mate.
So, former captain of the Peel Thunder Football Club, Gerald Ugle. Ugs, thanks for taking the time. Now, we want to know, Matt and I have rode Perth Demons quite hard this year, trying to cheer them into their first final since 1997. Did you guys talk about it at three-quarter time, let's kick these guys out of the finals, or was it just more about finishing off your own season really well?
Yeah, no, I was pretty much just focused on, you know, finishing the year on a high. Obviously, miss out a few close games this season, which, you know, we believe that we should be playing this week in the finals, and... yeah, I guess, you know, I sort of blooded a few debutants these last couple of weeks, and yeah, it was just good to, you know, get that game time into some of the young boys and sort of set them up for the pre-season going into next year.
And in terms of the game itself from the weekend, what was it that got you guys over the line in quite a close game where it was kind of seesawing with momentum and everything like that?
I just think the boys really dug deep towards the end, and you know, Sheps is pretty passionate at three-quarter time, and I just think that that's the sort of footy that we need to bring every week, and I think it just showed on the weekend. So obviously, beat a team that was looking to play finals next week, but it was great to get a good win against them, and they're obviously a pretty good side. They've been all year.
A great game for Benjamin Hancock. You know, what made these players fire and come out in that fourth quarter, ready to roll?
Yeah, well, Ben Hancock's been a great player for us for ever since he's been at the club, and you know, he never turns down the coach for any sort of role. He's rocked. He's played all positions on the ground, and he just typifies what you want in a player. Just his durability to go down back and play up forward. He's massive, and he's great to have around the club, and I think that so much of the young boys who want to get the best out of their footy should really, really pick his brain. And yeah, he's a wonderful player, and you know, and he's, you know, he's going to be a great leader for the club going forward.
And speaking more now as the season as a whole, now that the home and away is done and you guys missed out on finals by just a couple of wins, what is it that you think's let you down this year, but also what's got you the most excited going forward as well?
Yeah, well, obviously those close games we've lost, and you know, I think, you know, another year together with the boys that we had this year, and you know, a few other boys coming through the Colts system and that. I think, you know, that sort of that bond and knowing what to do in those tight situations, and getting the boys to understand the game better, and you know, when to lock down and when to attack, and sort of keep educating the boys going forward with, you know, game setups. And
with now that you guys are out of it, do you think anyone can knock off Subiaco, or do you tip anyone will knock off Subiaco?
Obviously, you know, Subiaco are a powerhouse team, but you just never know with footy nowadays. You just look at the AFL, and you know, especially with the tipping and that, like, any team can win. But yeah, I think, you know, like teams like South Fremantle, Claremont, they've, you know, they're pretty strong midfield and all over the ground. And I guess it's just whoever gets a chance to play against them on, and it just depends on who wants it at the end of the day. And
South are the ones who have knocked off Subi throughout the year, so maybe they know the formula. Before we let you go, do you have a tip for the Sandover medal? Which opponent or which player from your team do you think could be a chance to take out this year's Sandover medal?
Oh, that's a tough one. You know, there's been so much good players over the year, and you know, Jackson Merritt, he's found his straps last, you know, towards the end of the season. Like, the yeah, he's gonna, I reckon he'll be up there. Who else? I'm trying to think. That's probably the main one that's come to mind for me, Jackson Merritt, and yeah, he obviously great contributor for us and a great recruit from the other year. And yeah, I think he'll be up there for the Sandover as well.
No worries. Well, Gerald, thank you very much for having a chat to us twice throughout the year on the Monday Waffle, and all the best for your off season and into next year as well.
Yep, no worries. Thank you very much for that. Thanks for having me on.
Now it's time to talk finals on the Monday Waffle. The most exciting time of the year. So this weekend, on Saturday, in the qualifying final, South Fremantle take on Claremont. That's for the opportunity to play reigning Premiers Subi the following week to secure a spot in the grand final. And also in the elimination final, we have West Coast playing West Perth. And that's on Sunday, September 1st. But now, it's time for everyone's favourite segment.
Let's get ready to rumble!
All right, it's time for the Monday Rumble. And for this Monday Rumble topic, we're talking Sandover, and we're talking whether it should be the fairest and best. Now, Andrew, you seem to think stick to the status quo. Let's keep this fairest and best, award those who, you know, fair.
Fair. Yes, Matt, that's right. So the Sandover medal is awarded by the umpires. The umpires get to choose that. The umpires' role and the award is surrounded in prestige and tradition. Since 1921, it's being awarded since. So that's 98 years, and that's some fast math. 97 years. 98 years for me. I should have backed myself a bit more with the math there. It was 98 years. And, Matt, It's the prestige, it's the fairest and the best, and it needs to stay the fairest and the best because the umpires award it, and they're there to adjudicate a nice, fair game of footy. If you take that out of it, it loses the whole tradition, it loses the whole purpose of the whole award.
But at the end of the day, when people watch the Sandover medalists, they just care about it being the best player. They don't necessarily care about it being the fairest. You know, like, I watch the Sandover medal, if a guy's been suspended and he gets rubbed out and can't win, that's rubbish for me. He should be able to win it, you know? Because why don't you just create a separate award, call it the Umpires Award? Because
okay. No, they've already got that. Why don't you create a separate award and call it something else that you want to do?
No,
the Sandover is
no.
Literally... No. Why should they have to create a new award?
Because...
They built the prestige.
The Sandover's got the prestige.
Yeah, they built it. But the umpires built it. You know? This award built it.
That might be true, But
oh, excellent! That's the quickest rumble we've ever had.
No, that might, it's not over. It's not over.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, you got me stumped.
That was too easy. We've had a rollover and defeat in the Monday Rumble.
This could be the first one.
You just gave up.
All right. Big news. Get on down to Fremantle Community Bank Oval this week. The first qualifying final winner versus the Subi Juggernaut.
Or Joondalup Arena for the West Coast, West Perth, the Battle of the Wests.
Yes.
In the elimination final.
This has been the Monday Waffle. Toodaloo.